riches I need not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, O now and always, Thou and Thou only, first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure Thou art. High King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Sing the first one again. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, say that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Thy presence my light. And now, O Heavenly Father, as we go to look at your words, everything we need to know about life and godliness, we thank you that through the centuries that the Bible has come forward to us, people have died bringing Bibles to others in foreign lands where the Bible was outlawed. People were burned at the stake and killed for the Word of God, for just wanting people to read the Word of God and to understand it. We know that it's that important, as you've sent a love letter to us, your word, and thank you, Holy Spirit, that you be our teacher so we can understand what the Word of God really says, not hearsay by other people and not rumors by other people or people using it in a wrong way. You've sent it to us that we should know you and know you in your fullness. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our teacher today. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, over these past weeks, as we've been studying the laws of the kingdom, we've called it the secret kingdom, and that these laws, in some respect, seem to be secret because only certain people know them. But it's not, it's the same thing about the relationship we have with Christ. The Lord wants to be known. He wants to be known as who he is and how he is and why he is and all those things. But sometimes people's eyes are blinded. Their ears are stopped, so to speak. That's why Jesus himself said, let them that have eyes to see, see, and those that have ears to hear, hear. So they're not really secret laws of the kingdom because the Lord has revealed them to those that would be interested enough to know that. And so we've been going through these laws of the kingdom, and they are immutable. They work everywhere, always, at all times, throughout this universe. I don't care where you go. If you were to go to the moon, they work on the moon. And I always tell people, if you get on the moon shuttle, make sure you bring your Bible with you. If you can't bring your Bible with you, and you're not bringing it with you, that means you've memorized the Bible from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, and you know it so well you don't have to carry a written copy or some device to be able to look at. You know, the thing is, the Word of God is what God goes by. It doesn't go by the Word of man. And that is a hard thing for men to understand in a secular society that we're fast approaching, in an atheistic society, that people think we go by the word of man. Well, God doesn't. The word of man did not stop the sun from coming up today or affect the temperature or whatever else. And that's not to say that we can't go before his throne of grace and pray and ask him for his help. And he does help us, obviously. But he's not obligated to do what we ask, and he's not obligated to do what we say. But if we love him and we're serving him, we are obligated, as I said in that first song we were singing, many times we say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, except when you're asking me to do something I don't want you to, I don't want to do, then the answer is no. And Jesus says it this way: if I'm really your Lord, and you say no to me, then maybe I'm not your Lord at all. Because I'm either Lord of all and Lord in all, or maybe I'm not your Lord at all. And so those are some very interesting questions. So we've gone through these past weeks, we're on week number 7 here. Law of reciprocity, the law of use, the law of perseverance, the law of responsibility, the law of greatness, the law of unity, and this week, the law of fidelity. And I hope and pray that you folks and all those that are listening, and we've got people across the country who pull these teachings up and have been listening to them over the internet, which is a pretty amazing thing, how that works. So this week, the law of fidelity, and I hope that everybody, and not just taking my word for it, I mean, I've certainly brought these things out to you, given scripture along the way, but that you put these things into effect in your lives, use them, and see whether they work or not, and I can personally guarantee you they do work. They absolutely do. But a lot of times people will say, gee, it doesn't work. Well, maybe because you didn't use it rightly, the same way as certain tools in our lives and certain pieces of equipment, people say, it didn't work for me. Well, but did you use it the way it was intended to be used? Did you use it the way it was made to be used? And a lot of times people don't. So we're going to start off by looking at Luke chapter 16, Gospel of Luke at chapter 16, Luke 16. Luke 16, beginning at verse 10. Luke 16, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke 16:10. So I'm going to read it from the King James translation. Luke chapter 16 and verse 10 says, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? So that's Luke chapter 16, verse 10 through 12. Now, in the King James translation, obviously being old-fashioned English, when we use the term, or when the term is used there, unrighteous mammon, that's basically for things of the world. If you haven't been faithful in things of the world, just simple things of the world, why would you be committed, why would it be committed to you and trust you in more things that are of importance? And if you've not been faithful in what is another man's, well, how are you going to be given your own? So the thing is the issue of stewardship here, and this is part of the law of fidelity. Basically, in our culture, we have an awful lot of euphemisms in our culture to describe conduct that's prohibited by God's clear command in His Word. And of course, let's say, for example, people will say, oh, that's an exaggeration, instead of saying, that's a lie. I mean, it sounds less onerous by saying, oh, it's just an exaggeration. No, that's a lie. Okay, or, for example, voluntary termination of pregnancy. Instead of saying that's baby murder, it's taking the life of the baby in the womb. Or freedom of choice, taking the life of the unborn. You see, freedom of choice doesn't sound so bad when you're saying you're taking the life of the unborn. That sounds different. Or a variety of sexual sins, like the word gay, instead of using the word that for centuries was used, of sodomy. Things like that. Or having an affair, instead of calling it adultery, or cultural deprivation, that's new in the South, all those people in Ferguson that rioted and stole other people's stuff and ruined other people's property and so forth, that's because they were suffering from cultural deprivation. No, they stole, they were thieves, see? And there's no excuse for that. And when you paint it over by using these euphemisms, you're showing what Scripture says here. If you can't be trusted with these little things of the world, why would you be trusted with greater things? And I am absolutely sure, and I've seen it over and over again, how true that this is. Or things, for example, like, I'm just really concerned about that person. When in fact what you're doing is you're slandering them and you're gossiping about them. See? And I say you, of course, we're talking about the in general you, and as I point my finger out, I'm pointing fingers back at myself too. Because sometimes we think, oh, we're just talking about concern for somebody, and it's really slander and gossip. I mean, I've had to have that conversation with a number of people, including pastor friends of mine. How do you know what you're telling me is true? Well, so-and-so told so-and-so who told so-and-so who told me. That's not the law of fidelity, being true to the Lord in that, because the Lord says, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. The Lord also says, make sure that what you're saying is true. And if you're really concerned, you'd want to, and Kathy and I talked about this the other day when we were doing our morning devotion time and praying, about a pastor laying on his deathbed, and a woman came to him and said, Pastor, I'm so sorry for what I did to you, and whatever. He said, really? Yeah, but should I slandered you? I gossiped about you. Yeah, you mean you said you were concerned about me? And he said, well, I'll tell you what. I can forgive you, and I will forgive you, but let me show you what it's like. Take that feather pillow over there, rip it open, and throw it out the window on the 13th floor, and go down on the street and pick up all the feathers. See, when you think of things in that standpoint, the Lord is saying, look, if I can't trust you, if I don't have enough fidelity from you in this circumstance, how can I trust you with more? And so when we talk about the secrets of the kingdom, some people can't be trusted with the simplest things. I mean, this is what this portion of Scripture is talking about. And of course, what we hear so often these days, you know, whether it's investigating Hillary Clinton's emails or whatever else, and she's saying, well, what's the big deal? Everybody does it. But see, that's one of the things that has been said so often these days. We, like everyone else, are guilty of little sins that do not really matter because everyone is doing them. You know? Well, I got news for you. Not everyone is doing them. I'm not saying, I mean, obviously, Scripture says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay, it's our nature, our human nature, our fallen nature to do these things, but we cannot use the excuse of saying, okay, everybody else is doing it, so why shouldn't I? Because we'd like to say, well, you know what? Would you really like to see the world change for the better? And as God is my witness, I really want to see this to be a better world. I want to see this to be a better world, not so I can live in a better world, that would be nice, but so that my children and grandchildren can live in a better world, and other people can live in a better world, and there's a way of doing it. The Lord's shown us what that way is. And he's telling us here, Luke chapter 16, what that way is. You be faithful in the little things that you have opportunity to do, and some of us have opportunities for big things. Okay? Gee, right now, some of the people, whether we talk about the President of the United States, or we talk about the, you know, somebody running for president, they have great opportunity to do great things. And most of them aren't doing that. Because they have a bigger forum than most of us have. Most of us only have a little situation. I mean, yesterday I had great opportunity of an error that was being made to remind this person of the error. I could have gotten away with it, and it would have saved me some money and so forth and so on, but I couldn't do that. Just the same as I'm not going to take something that isn't mine, even if it's 10 cents, even if it's 25 cents. If it's not mine, it's not mine. And if I take 25 cents, why wouldn't I take more? And see, that's something that a lot of people don't realize. And it may seem extreme, but if you're not trustworthy even with a little thing, why would somebody trust you with more? And that's one of the reasons why, even as we go through the candidate process these days, I'm saying, wait a minute. Look at the people's lives. Do you want to trust somebody to have this kind of power that hasn't even used the power they've had on another level? You want to trust them with the power to push a button that can nuke everybody in the whole world? I don't think so. It was interesting. George Bernard Shaw, who was a playwright, was having a dinner with a noted actress, and he was kind of a philosopher type too, and he asked her this question. He said, would you be willing to sleep with a certain man for $1 million? He actually used English terminology of £1 million sterling. And she said, oh yes. And he said, really? Would you be willing to sleep with that man for $5 or £5 sterling? She says, no, what kind of a person do you think I am? And he said, we've already determined that. All now we're determining is the price. And so the issue is, if somebody is going to do something like that for money, then that means they are prostituting themselves, and it's just a matter of negotiating the right price.
Who said that? I'm sorry to interrupt.
George Bernard Shaw actually was the person who had this interview with this actress. It was an actress, a British actress that he was having dinner with, that he asked that question. And so we can ask ourselves that question. Would I do a certain thing for a certain amount of money? Well, if you say yes, and I'm not saying negotiating contracts for business deals or stuff like that, but I mean, would you kill somebody if you were offered $1 million? Well, yeah. Would you kill them for $10? Well, no. What kind of a person do you think I am? We've already determined that, because if you said you would do some unrighteous wrong thing, or I would do some unrighteous wrong thing, then I'm not living according to the law of fidelity to the Lord. And this, you know, I'm front-loading this message, so to speak. I'm front-loading this teaching in talking about all the bad stuff first. But we'll later get to the point of saying, okay, what is the reward for being faithful to the Lord and the law of fidelity? I mean, the word fidelity, some companies are called fidelity, trust, and whatever. Well, that's like an oxymoron. Fidelity and trust is the same thing. And the word fidel, you know, not Castro, the name Fidel Castro, but fidelity also means trustworthiness. It means faithfulness. And one of the sola fide, one of the five solas of Scripture, is faithfulness. Sola fide. Now, this law of fidelity has very wide applications, because it deals not just with isolated incidents. Okay, we're not saying somebody who, you know, didn't have money for the coffee machine took somebody's 35 cents off the table that wasn't theirs and did it, you know, one time. But the truth of the matter is, if somebody would be willing to do that, what else would they be willing to do? And so we're not really talking about isolated incidents. We're talking about something compared to the ultimate rewards. And this is what's really important here. Ultimate rewards in the kingdom of heaven rather than the reward of conduct on earth. And we don't hear this very much anymore. Don't hear much talk about heaven or hell. We don't hear much about rewards of heaven and eternal reward and whatever else. I got to get it, and I got to get it now, because that's all there is. That is an atheist concept. It's a humanist and secular concept that there are no rewards in heaven. And of course, if you were to think of it in terms of trading one thing or another, wouldn't you like to think that you could trade something that's short term for something that's longer term, you know, that would last longer? Wouldn't you like to be able to do that? Of course. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. And it's interesting, even as people look at investments. There are some people that will put an investment together and leave it there and figure it's going to take a long time for it to grow, but they'll wait. But some people that want it right away. And so that impetuousness is not part of the real faithfulness. And of course, as we talk about the law of fidelity, are we being faithful to what we've been called to do by the Lord? Are we being faithful to our spouse? Are we being faithful to our responsibilities as parents? Being faithful to our responsibilities if you're an elected official? There's a law of fidelity there too. There's a moral responsibility that many of them, they're just making sure they're getting in and taking what they can for themselves. And that's just not what the Lord approves of. So, if we consider the fact that there's a reward in heaven, and it's eternal, we can also consider the fact that basically, no matter what we have in this life, you know, and somebody once said they never saw anyone going to the cemetery with the hearse dragging a U-Haul trailer. You know, so whatever it is, although the Egyptian pharaohs like to be buried with their stuff, of course, why they were being buried with their stuff is kind of interesting, that their concept of life, because they were buried with their stuff and people broke into their tombs to steal it. Because obviously those pharaohs didn't take it with them. Maybe they thought they were going to be able to take it with them, but they didn't. And so if we consider the fact that whatever it is that we have in this earth, that we possess on earth, we're just a life tenant on property, right? When our life is over, somebody else is going to have that stuff. Of course, we go through probates and go through court orders and go through inheritance things and whatever else. But one thing's for sure, we're just life tenants. No matter whether you live 50 years or you live 100 years, when you're gone, the stuff stays behind. And so it's not eternal. But the things we do for the Lord and being faithful to Him, and that's part of what the law of fidelity is about, is those things that we do for Him, they last. They last because the Lord knows and He remembers that, and there is biblical teaching that says that in the kingdom of God eternal, there will be different rewards and there will be different positions. I mean, you think about, for example, the Lord sets up His eternal kingdom, both here on earth and in heaven, and He says, okay, who am I going to have to work with? Who's going to work with me? Who am I going to appoint for important positions? Even Moses, when his father-in-law came to him and said, you know, Moses, you can't do all this work. You can't be the judge over everybody. You've got too many people here. You're going to need to appoint captains over thousands, captains over hundreds, captains over tens. Who do you think got appointed as captains over thousands? He appointed the ones that had shown that they were capable of being leaders over hundreds, so then they could be leaders or captains over thousands. Who do you think He appointed as captains over hundreds? Now, we know this principle in promotion and business world. We generally know this way even in the military. I mean, if you haven't been a good private, you're not going to be a corporal. If you haven't been a good corporal, you're not going to be the squad sergeant. If you haven't been a good squad sergeant, you're certainly not going to be the platoon sergeant. See? Now, we understand that in a worldly sense, but do we understand it in the law of fidelity from the things of the Lord? And I am absolutely sure that when people grasp onto the truth of God's word and these principles of the kingdom, that their lives are going to improve. And even in foreign cultures, it says when the gospel of Jesus Christ comes in, first of all, there's salvation. That people are born again, they're saved, they know that their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they've got a life with the Lord. That's redemption. But because of the law of fidelity also, and these other laws of the kingdom, there's what's called lift. They're saved and then they're lifted. They start to do better. They start to get promotion from the Lord because they start to understand the principles by which things really do operate. So whatever it is that we are entrusted with, and by the way, we're entrusted with 24 hours a day, right? Not only are we entrusted with talents and abilities, some of us have been, not all, some of us, all of us have been entrusted with something. Some people have great ability in sports. Some have great ability of mental acuity or whatever else it is. We all have something. God has gifted every one of us in some way. So we're being entrusted as stewards of something that was we were gifted with. It's not really ours. It was given to us by the Lord. So whatever that we've had placed in our hands, talk about good stewardship. A few weeks ago, we talked from Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30, about the parable of the 10 talents. And I encourage all of you this week and everyone that's listening to this broadcast, if they would spend some time looking over those, the parable of the 10 talents again in Matthew 25, 14 through 30, because in that, and I said it then, I'll repeat it, that was one of the hardest things for me to accept, just like don't cast your pearls before the swine. I had a hard time accepting that. I knew it was in God's word, but I had a hard time accepting the truth of it. Because I couldn't understand what? I mean, casting my pearls before the swine, that people are being described like swine, or the fact that the in the parable of 10 talents, the person that had been given the 1 talent went out and hid it because he was afraid and whatever else. And when the Lord came back, that had given the talents out, he rewarded the one who used the 2 talents and multiplied it, and the one with 5 talents multiplied it, and he took away from the one who had buried it. So that can't be right. I mean, here's this poor person that only got the 1 talent, but see, the thing is, it's a matter of the law of fidelity. If you would be faithful, recognize, first of all, it isn't your money anyway. So what are you hiding my money for, so to speak, the Lord might say? Why aren't you using my money for something good, for my kingdom? When I say money, it's not just money. Why aren't you using your athletic ability? Why aren't you using your mental acuity? Why aren't you using your physical strength? Why aren't you using your insight, your hearing, your sense of smell, whatever that you're gifted with? Why aren't you using that for my kingdom? Why are you burying it? And because if you use it, more will be given. That's the interesting thing, too, about the parable of the talents. Took the 5, invested it, now here's some more. Because you've shown me that you're trustworthy, even with this small thing, now I can trust you with something bigger. And I've seen this, for example, over and over and over again. Just because somebody's a doctor doesn't mean they're trustworthy. Just because they're a lawyer doesn't mean they're trustworthy. Just because they're a teacher, just because they're a banker or whatever, it doesn't. If they've taken what they've had and used it well and shown faithfulness there, that'd be the first person I'd go to. See? Now, there'll be an accounting at the end of each of our lives. You heard that any time recently? I believe it's true. I believe at the end of our lives there'll be an accounting. And I'm not talking about just the accounting of saying, okay, your estate goes to probate and everything that you've got has to be listed and all your debts and all your assets. Yes, that accounting happens too, doesn't it? Happens all the time. But I'm talking about another accounting at the end of our lives, where the Lord looks at, and it's called stubble and hay, much of the stuff that many of us get involved with. This life is over, that's over too. But there are some things, because we've done them to the glory of God in the law of fidelity, we've done it to the glory of God, that those things carry on. I mean, so when somebody says you can't take it with you, I'll tell them they're wrong. There are some things you can take with you. Some things have actually gone out ahead of you. They're already there in a safe place. And of course, Scripture puts it out this way, saying where moth can't eat it, where thieves can't steal it, and rust can't corrode it. And we know about rust around here, don't we? Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, do we know about rust. And we know about moths. And we know about thieves. But there's a place where the Lord can protect those things that we have had good stewardship over. Now let's just take a look at Revelation 22:15. That's towards the end of the book, isn't it? Revelation 22:15. Revelation 22:15. Thus saith the Lord. Revelation 22:15. But outside, let's go back to verse 14. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs, sorcerers, and sexually immoral, and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. So whatever that we have, whatever that we do that and use it for the glory of this kingdom. Now turn back to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. I give you proof text. Plus, I'm giving you some interpretation of what I believe that the text says. But you're responsible for this yourself. I just share what I believe and what I've learned from the Lord and what I teach. But ultimately, we're all responsible for this ourselves. Luke chapter 12 and verse 47. And that servant, who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Most of us have learned in some way or another, whether it's being in the military, being in business, or at home, or whatever else, that there are things that people who have authority in our lives expect of us. And if we want to please those people, then we do what's expected of us, or maybe even put in more than is expected from us. And the Lord can honor that and do much for it. Don't we want to take what the Lord has given us and use it for his glory? And I believe in each and every day, I was up the other day at job lots and talked to a woman standing right there. I mean, she just stopped what she was doing, and we talked about things of the Lord, and she was so appreciative of that. And, oh, isn't this the country that no longer wants to hear about Jesus and no longer wants to hear about whatever? But we didn't talk about church. We talked about God's word. We talked about Jesus. We didn't talk about church. So there are people out there who do want to hear and are thankful. At the bank, we stopped at the bank yesterday, and a girl that I hadn't seen there before commented on the fact that on every check I stamp on there, it says, "The Lord Jesus Christ bless you." And she said, "That's really so nice. Thank you for that." She actually wrote on the deposit slip, "Thank you." See? And so, whether it's at the post office or wherever else, if we use what opportunity we have, for what purpose? To use and enjoy what God has given for his glory. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Letting the fingers do the walking here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. 2 Corinthians. That's after Romans, of course. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. What? Oh, I must be reading that the wrong way. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. No, I got to clean my glasses. I'm reading this the wrong way. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. I did read it the right way. It is that way. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now the good news is, or which do you want first? The good news or the bad news? The bad news is, if you haven't done anything to the glory of God when you're at the judgment seat of Christ, you'll be answering for that. But the good news is, if you've been doing things for the glory of God, then you appear before the judgment seat of Christ and you'll receive for that good. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Why do people complicate that or think that there won't be a judgment seat? This isn't my opinion. I just read it straight, right? And sometimes, as a person, I'm thinking, wait a minute. That seems pretty simple, but doesn't it seem a little severe? But according to the law of fidelity, those that are faithful to the Lord and serve Him in that way and use what God has given them in a faithful way, and it may be a very small. Some people don't seem to have much to give, just like Jesus commended the woman with the 2 pennies more than He commended the Pharisee who said, hey, here's $1,000, you know. He commended the woman with the 2 pennies more than the Pharisee with the 1,000, because 1,000 is nothing to you. But the 2 pennies that she had, that was all that she had, and she was willing to give it up. Because she understood what the law of fidelity was about. Yet those Pharisees didn't. They should have understood, but their greed and their selfishness and their worldliness, they were serving mammon, really not serving God. Romans chapter 4, verse 10. Romans chapter 4, verse 10. Let's back up a little bit to Romans chapter 4, verse 10. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised, or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. No, I'm sorry, that's wrong. Yeah. Romans 14:10. I'm reading 4:10. Say, how does that figure with circumcision? Romans 14:10. There we go. But why do you judge your brother? For why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Yeah. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. It's worth repeating that a few weeks ago when we spoke there in Milton Mills, and I grabbed that Christian flag, and I said, one day, this flag will fly over Tehran, Iran, and every country of the world. I am sure of that. And one day, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess Jesus Christ is Lord. I am sure of that. I'm so sure of that, I'm willing to use every ounce of strength and my ability, whatever the Lord has given me, for that purpose. So basically, the law of fidelity, in many respects, to those that are following the law of fidelity and these other laws of the kingdom, it's nothing onerous, it's a good thing, but it's a solemn warning to use our time faithfully, to use our abilities, to use our resources faithfully. And the Lord will say, you know what? You've been so faithful in using these things, I'm going to give you some more. Maybe even give us some more time of life, more strength in life, whatever, however we do that. But it's a promise of eternal blessing. And so, if you take nothing away from the lesson, the promise of eternal blessing. And the question that I always ask a lot of people, okay, folks, which do you want, curse or blessing? Raise your right hand if you want. Raise your left hand if you want curse. Raise your right hand if you want blessing. I think most right hands would go up. Just in closing, a couple of more scriptures from Nehemiah. That's way back there. Nehemiah 8:10. So we're taking scriptures not only from the Old Testament or the New Testament, the New Covenant, but also from the Old, which is always a good idea to do that. Study both parts, if you will, from the Bible. Nehemiah 8:10. Ezra, Nehemiah. Okay. Nehemiah 8:10. Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And finally, Matthew 25:21. So when we're talking about eternal blessing, the Lord is showing that even in our lives now. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. After he has said, send these portions out, help those that have need, and don't worry about that, I'll repay. Don't sorrow over it. Be glad for the opportunity, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Matthew 25:21. Matthew 25:21. Hear those pages turning. Matthew 25:21. His Lord said to him, "Well done." Before I finish reading this, I want to tell you what my greatest desire is when my life is over, whenever my life is over. And I've had a few times where it looked like my life was over, and it wasn't. But I can tell you all I was really hoping to hear at that time, if my life was over, was this. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." The law of fidelity. The Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Well, Father, we thank you for this time to study your word. We thank you for this lesson. We desire to be able to use these laws of the kingdom, not abuse them, but use them. And thank you for blessing us to understand these things. Holy Spirit is our teacher. And to employ them in our lives, that's what you've given them to us for. And we do look not just for a reward now, which we know that you have promised a reward now, but especially the best reward in eternity. We thank you for that. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.